This is Bloomberg Business Week from Bloomberg Radio.
I'm Jason Kelly.
And I'm Carol Masser. Welcome to the Bloomberg Business Week Extra. It's a weekly podcast bringing you an in-depth interview you will not hear anywhere else. And this one, man, took us to places, I think, that we weren't expecting, Jason.
Absolutely. I have to say, and I would say this if we were talking to him right now, you get on the phone with the chair and senior partner at a big consulting firm, you think, all right, he's going to talk to us about consulting.
He's going to have his bullet points, right?
Yeah. Tim Ryan, he's a different sort of leader.
Yes.
And I've heard that from a number of people who work with him, and we spoke with him at a time where he was coming out of a weekend of having a lot of very serious and very intense conversations with his employees. He is thoughtful, and he's thinking a lot about what his company looks like going forward. And keep in mind, he and his team are consulting with the leaders across the world. So what they think and how they act has a lot of influence.
The most important thing right now is to communicate, to be open-minded and committed to change. The reality is we have huge segments of our population, including my workforce, that are hurting. In many cases, they've been hurting for a long, long time. And it's important that we are vulnerable, we are open, willing to communicate, speak, and be committed to change. I have in the last weekend responded personally to over 3,000 emails. I've spoken to dozens and dozens of people individually to hear what's in their mind, in addition to my team. And it is heartbreaking. And to acknowledge and being committed to driving it is a good start.
So how does this affect policy going forward? And how does it bring about change?
Yeah, Carol, thank you. Important question. I look at it from two perspectives. And let me start off by saying PwC nor me do we have all the answers, but we look at it from two perspectives. For the last 4 years, we've been taking very aggressive steps to improve our inclusion with inside the four walls of PwC, and it starts at home. We all can be better, and we need to be better. And myself and over 1,000 executives who are part of CEO Action for Diversity and Inclusion, we have committed to make our organizations better, safer, more aware, and more understanding. But as you point out or ask in your question, policymaking also plays an important part. The reality is that we need more thoughtful policy at the city, state, and federal level to make sure that we get at some of the more important parts or equally important parts around inclusion if we're to get to better performance at a sustained level. So, for example, when we think about the economic inequalities that exist in our country, the policy making plays an important role there as well.
You know, it's interesting, Tim, to hear your response to the first question, because it does feel like we're in a different moment where I dare say, and this is no judgment on any of your predecessors or any predecessors of current CEOs, but I have a hard time believing that in a previous generation of leaders, it would be almost acceptable in some ways for a leader of your stature to personally respond to all of those things. Do you feel like you bear more of a responsibility to show a level of transparency and I dare say authenticity to a broader spectrum of people?
Yeah, it's a fair question. I certainly sincerely believe I have a responsibility to the 55,000 people who trust me with their leadership, and that is very personal to me. I was speaking with somebody over the weekend, or many, many people. In one conversation, I asked, I said, do you think everybody's getting 3,000 emails? And I honestly don't know the answer. Yeah. What I am proud of is the culture is that people expect to have immediate access at PwC to the top. And I take that responsibility very seriously. I think some of it's a sign of times. I think some of it is the culture of the organization. And when I look at those 3,000 emails, and over, and I'm behind today, to be clear, because
right.
I'm not missing out today. But I think part of it is many thousands just saying thank you. Like, thank you. I shot a video on Friday morning saying how sick I was. Part of it is thank you for the commitment and leadership. But hundreds were, here are suggestions.
Yeah.
And we're going through them. Like, to think that in a world where leadership is looked up to, we don't have all the answers, and I think part of it is we need to get it at all levels in our organization. One of our black associates I spoke to today, he has 3 years experience with us. He was both excited but also angry that society's not making more progress. He said, Tim, you need to listen to not only the views of partners and people in the middle and leadership roles. You need to listen to our views as well. I think it's incredibly important that we do that. I think today more than ever.
Well, you know, going back to, oh man, you just sent kind of chills to my spine. We spoke with John Hope Bryant, chairman and CEO of Hope. And what's interesting is he said he was talking to a lot of young people, Tim, who said, you know, because everybody's like, please, you know, looting doesn't solve anything. But these young people said to him, listen, you have a seat at the table. You know, you're in the room where it all happens. You go to the White House, you talk to CEOs. For us, our voices aren't heard unless we take these drastic actions. And we need to figure out a way to make sure everyone is heard. And Tim, I feel like we have a lot of conversations about this, and yet nothing happens. And forgive me, we've got about 45 seconds, and then we'll come back and continue the conversation. But your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I think it is really important for us to understand to our black and brown citizens of the United States, what happened last Monday is not new. What happened in Central Park is not new. To many, it feels new because we saw it on a video, but it is not new. And as I speak with my, and I'm not black, I cannot say I've walked in people's shoes, but as I've listened to hundreds, what they will tell you is that this is not new. And 4 years ago, we had shootings in Dallas. We had violence in Louisville. 2 years ago, we had violence in Charlottesville. We have it again, and it's incumbent on people in my role and other roles to say enough is enough, and we're going to fix it, and we have to work together to do that.
So, Tim, I want to talk about the return to work. I just had one more question for you about sort of where we are at this particular moment, having to do with protests. You've got curfews happening at major cities around the country, including here in the tri-state area. And I do wonder, how do you balance sort of the safety of your employees with the notion that you want them to be able to express themselves at times like this?
Yep, we encourage our people to make sure their point of view is heard, and protesting is an important part of expressing ourselves. We obviously want to make sure they're safe as well, so we've encouraged people to do that and use their best judgment. In cities where we have had protests, we've used our nationwide security team to make sure we're checking up on people, that they're safe. We've had a few instances where we've simply had to move people because they were in very closely affected areas. But freedom of speech and the ability to get your views heard both internally within the firm and outside is something that we think is really important. Obviously, we want it to be peaceful and we want our people to be safe, but getting our emotions out and getting our feelings out is important. And the numbers really speak to the importance of getting those views out and having voices heard. So it is a very important part of our nation and the freedom to get your view out there and something we're supportive of.
You know, Tim, something that Jason and I have been asking with a lot of the leaders that have been coming on our air, CEOs, you know, folks similar to you in, you know, top positions, is how does our world change? And we've been asking it in the context of the virus specifically. You know, what's the most important and, in your view, underappreciated way that the world, or at least your world that you work within, will be different? And I feel like I want to ask it both of what's happening, you know, as a result of what happened in Minneapolis, and also as of the virus, because it just feels like, you know, our world has definitely been turned upside down in many different ways, certainly in the past week and certainly in the past 3 months or so.
Yeah, Carol, thank you. I would start out by saying I am obviously very upset and sick by the events over the last week, but I also start by saying I'm an optimist. And I think when I look at the COVID-19 situation, and I look at the events of the last couple of weeks, I think we are given a great opportunity to be drivers of change. And I think that's the way we have to look at things, because it is important as leaders we go forward. And there's a couple of key things that I would say will change. First, when I think just about basic work, and this is something, as I've heard from dozens of CEOs, I think one thing is safe to say, work will not look the way it did 12 or 13 weeks ago and will not look the way it does today. Like there is an opportunity to reimagine how work is done. And when I think about the office space, so when I think about industries like financial services, technology, professional services, that we have a fundamental way to reimagine work. The way we reimagine work hopefully will align with opportunities. Some people desperately want to get back to the office, and other people like the new way of working. Now you need the ecosystem around schools and daycare and the like to work as well, and we will get there over time. we're seeing tremendous opportunity to reimagine how work is done, where some roles are done permanently remotely, some work is done on a hybrid basis, and some work is done fully back in the office space, which then should hopefully allow people who like either end of that spectrum or in the middle to match up with those roles. That's a tremendous opportunity we never had before, and the shared experience that everybody's gone through creates a great platform for change. And I'm seeing leading companies go after that platform for change with a sense of it's a great opportunity. By the way, it should also drive better diversity and inclusion when we think of certain people who maybe couldn't afford to live near an office, therefore couldn't get a job. When we think about women and children, or men and children for that matter, the ability to do things differently as well. So I view it as a great opportunity, and shame on us if we miss it.
And so, Tim, from your business's perspective, like even just the logistics of sort of getting people back to work, what have you guys found as sort of the biggest single challenge or maybe opportunity, depending on how you want to take it, in terms of just the physical act of, you know, kind of moving people back into some semblance of normalcy?
Yeah, we're very fortunate because the last 4 years we've been investing massively in technology. We've been investing not only in getting our business in the cloud, but we've also been investing in 55,000 people with digital upskilling and awareness. Digital upskilling has become an employee benefit at PwC, no different than 401k or healthcare. So our people are constantly being invested in. Now, we didn't plan for a pandemic, but when we had the shift to 100% remote, we were able to make it very quickly, in large part because not only the broad transformation to the cloud, but also the skills that our people have had. That has allowed us to meet our clients' needs 100% virtually. And what we're hearing from most of our clients is they don't need us back right now. Hmm. So the biggest opportunity we have right now is to meet our clients where they want to be met. And for the most part right now, it's virtual. That will change over time. Our opportunity is to help meet our clients' needs over time with less face-to-face, not zero face-to-face, but less face-to-face, which then results in a better work experience for our people because we have less travel, and that also will benefit our environment as well. So again, every challenge is an opportunity. We're looking at this as a major opportunity to meet our clients' needs in a very different way.
Just quickly, Tim, that less travel, does that stick?
I think some will. Like, in other words, I don't see a world where we're not doing zero travel. You're talking to someone for 25 years who's been 100% road warrior.
Yeah.
I literally, the last 13 weeks, I've never been home in my adult life that long. I don't see us needing to travel as much, but I also don't see a big awareness today. There's still a big need to be at our clients, but we're also learning some roles, some functions, some tasks can be done virtually and without having people go there, and that's a good thing for everybody. So yeah. I think it's everything. I don't see it, everything going back the way it was. I don't see it the way it is today. It'll be somewhere in between.
That's Tim Ryan, the chair and senior partner at PwC US, Jason. And I thought it was so lucky that we were able to catch up with the head of a global consulting firm, talking to CEOs, talking to leaders around the globe. One of the things that struck me, you know, he talked about what it's going to be like to get back to the office. That was one issue. We talked to him about, you know, the virus's impact and, you know, how we're reorganizing, how we're going to work. But he also talked about the shared experience of all that we're all going through right now together and how it can be a great agent for change. Of course, addressing the civic unrest that we're seeing around the country.
You've been listening to Bloomberg Business Week Extra.
Be sure to tune into Bloomberg Business Week Radio live Monday through Friday at 2 p.m. Wall Street time on Bloomberg Radio. I'm Carol Masser.
And I'm Jason Kelly. This is Bloomberg.